Romans chapter number 13. I said I'll do my best to be fast, and I will. We'll try to mind the Lord. And I'm not against just having a testimony service, but sometimes you feel like you need to just go ahead and preach what's on your heart, and I feel that way this morning. And we'll try to mind the Lord. We're looking at Romans chapter 13, beginning a new section, or actually a new chapter. We're in the part, the practical living and the practical teachings, and he's dealing in this section, verses 1 through 7. He's dealing with what I'm going to call Christian subjection to government. Christian subjection to government. And we'll read these first 7 verses, and I'll not preach all 7 of them this morning, but I'll give you what is on my heart, try to come back and give you what's left after that. By the way, we've got a table back yonder, tables with groceries and things on that. That's for Brother Ricky back as well, and I hope it would be a blessing. It's a pounding, and I hope he's bruised all over time he leaves. Amen? And we're trying to fatten him up a little bit. But seriously, it's a blessing to be a blessing. And if you forgot and didn't get it in this morning, if you want to bring it tonight, we'll see that he gets it. And I trust it'll be a blessing, but I hope that you have been blessed to be a blessing. Amen. And I thank the Lord for that opportunity. All right, verse number 1. By the way, let me say this before I get there. Government. The word government comes from governing. You know something about motors, for example, school buses have governors on them so that you can't go but just so fast. It's to put the brakes on, so to speak, to keep things from revving up too high. Right. Keep things from getting out of hand and getting out of order and causing chaos and destruction. And God put order, God put authority in our world to give us order. We're living in a world that does not like that. They don't like pastoral authority. They don't like parental authority. They don't like governmental authority. Any kind of governing. Any kind of restraint. They just want to be able to run wild and free. I'm going to tell you something. A horse is a wonderful creature when it is in control. It is a dangerous creature when it is out of control. A home is a wonderful thing when it's in control. It's a horrible thing when it's out of control. Same government. We need it. We need it. That's what we're looking at. All right. Verse number one. We'll read it responsibly through verse 7. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore ye must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues. Tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. We'll stop there with verse number 7. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask God to bless the reading of his word. Brother Herford, would you lead us in prayer, please? Yes, Lord, we're thankful. Yes, a blessing, Lord. Yes, Help, Lord, yes. Yes. Amen, amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated, and I do appreciate that prayer, Brother Herford. Amen. Preaching on Christian subjection to government. The practical instructions that we started there in Romans chapter 12 have been continued, although in a different vein, here in chapter number 13. We see that these instructions began in chapter 12 with us being in subjection to God. He is the authority. He's over Joe Biden. He is over the Supreme Court. I say it this way because we think supreme means that's the highest. Oh no, there's a higher court than the highest court in the land. There's a higher court. There is a supreme judge over the supreme justices. Amen. He's over the Senate and the Congress. He is over the parents. He is over the law of the land, the sheriff, the police officers, the all these different things. He's over the school teachers. He's over the principal. He's over the pastor. He's over the Sunday school teachers. He's above all them. And so our submission to him must be ultimate. Must be first. It's got to be premier. But we've got a world full of people today that are not submitted to him. Therefore, they don't want to submit to them. And let me just say this. When we get out of order with God, we begin to get out of order with each other. And with our fellow man and our positions in our world. Amen. So he's talking about our submission. By the way, it ought not only be premier to God, but it ought to be entire to him. He is entirely in control of us, whatever that he wants. We are living sacrifices, he said that we're to be. And that extended to talk about the ministry instructions that we dealt with in chapter number 12. And how that we're ministering to those among us and to those around us. And we're a minister in this world. But now we're coming on to chapter 13 and we're talking about Christian subjection to government. So he's dealing with powers in verse number 1. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. Now I realize that some of these groups, for example, AA and maybe NA and some of these other groups that come together and form that are dealing with these things, addictions. That's what I was looking for. Dealing with addictions. They talk about a higher power. They can't say Jesus Christ because they might offend somebody. Their higher power might not be Jesus. Their higher power might be Buddha. Well, I'll just tell you, Buddha's not a higher power. Amen. Jesus is the highest power, but these higher powers that he's talking about here are authorities. We're all under somebody's authority. Right. We're all under somebody's authority. And that's what he's dealing with here. These first 7 verses of chapter 13 particularly are concise, they're detailed, and they're an intriguing set of verses that have a lot of questions about them. Some people say, well, maybe you're to be under subjection to these authorities, but not me. Here's what he said. Let how many souls? Every soul. Every soul. That means every woman is to be in submission to her husband. That means every member is to be in submission to their pastor. That means every citizen is to be in submission to the leaders of their land. That's exactly what it means. And see, he says it very plainly, let every soul be subject. So I'm saying this, maybe it might be intriguing. It might have a lot of different explanations that some people give. But we got to remember as we study these statements that these are not just the words of the Apostle Paul. These are the very words of God. It's not just what's written in the Constitution of the United States. It's what's written in the Word of God. Amen. But you can't separate the fact that God used the Apostle Paul to give us these instructions. And you cannot separate the fact that when God told Paul to write this, Nero was in authority. The Romans ruled the world, and Nero ruled Rome. Nero considered himself a god. The Caesars did. Many of them. Nero was one that did. He considered himself to be God. Nero was not a good leader. Nero was not good to the Jews. He was not good to the Christians. Matter of fact, he wasn't even good to his own family. He had many of his own family murdered. He was a very wicked man. Very, very wicked man. And yet, Paul was inspired of God in the reign of Nero to say, you're supposed to give submission to those in authority. Amen. Even when it was a wicked, ungodly king. Now, Nero had not fully embraced his wickedness at the time of the writings of the book of Romans, but nowhere in the Bible are these words changed or amended or abdicated. No, they're to be continued right on, right on, right on. Amen. And so Nero, that wicked man, was on the throne, but God, knowing that, advised the Christians. That's who the book of Romans is written to, by the way. It's not just written to citizens of a nation. He's written to Christians that we are to submit to that authority. The government of men. Because ultimately, submitting to men's authority is submitting to God's authority. I said that God's above Joe Biden. Don't you think God was above Nero? And so to say, I'm going to disobey God and disobey Nero is disobeying God. Right. So anyway, I just say there's a lot of disagreement about the verses before us, but we cannot judge the statements of Scripture by society. Amen. Brother Eric Vick was preaching Friday morning. Brother Vick preached and he dealt with the home. He dealt with a lot of things, but he dealt with the home and he made this statement. He said a lot of people are trying to bring the Bible into line with their children. When what we need to do is try to bring our children into line with the Bible. Trying to bring our Bible in line with what we want in marriage. I just want to be happy. It don't matter if I'm married 20 times. I just want to be happy. No, we can't bring our marriage in line with the Bible in line with our marriage. We got to bring our marriage in line with the Bible. Amen. So with that preface, we begin our study of these verses that are before us. And I'm just going to deal with these first two this morning. As I said, and do my best to run as quickly as I can. I don't want to just give you a shot in the arm and let you go. I want to give you something that will help you. Well, I mean, we came and thank God for the testimonies, but we came to hear from heaven. We can hear from heaven in a testimony, but thank God we hear from heaven through His Word. God's chosen the foolish to preach in. Amen. We still believe that, and that's the premium in the house of God. It ought to be. Amen. All right, verse number one, just look at it. Verse number one, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Now, I don't know about all the trickery and the counting and all that in the last election, but I know this, God's still on the throne. Amen. You might say, well, I didn't vote for this president. No, but we got this president because of how America is right now. And I'm not sure, to be honest with you, if we got somebody else, we'd be any better. Right. So we got to remember God's the one sets up and God's the one that takes down. Amen. Now, I mentioned in my introduction to this study of this section that there's a lot of disagreement concerning these texts and how far the reach and the extent of these instructions. One might question that who is to be in subjection, or you might question how far does that authority reach? Well, let me just say that God gives us in His Word the answer right up front. Notice what He says, that statement, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. Again, He tells you who, how far. He says, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. I underline that phrase, ordained of God. I am glad we don't have a king in America. We have a president that we can vote in or vote out, hopefully. Amen. We don't have a king over the state of Kentucky. We have a governor that we can vote in or vote out. Again, I say hopefully. Right. But even when it's a king, God said that he set those things up, and the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord. Amen. It's in the hand of God. And when you look at this, when he says that every soul be subject, there's no exceptions. Even, I don't think that the Bible approves of slavery. But even in the case of a slave with a master over him, you'll never read in that Bible where he says the slave ought to rebel against their master. But he said you ought to submit to him. At the same time, God that speaks to the slave speaks to the master. And he said you ought not mercilessly beat that slave, and you ought not mistreat that slave. And matter of fact, I think the teaching of the scripture is that you ought not own a slave. Amen. But he is telling them how to react and how to treat those that are in authority over us. Now, in our generation, our world is descending into chaos because of the disregard of the authority of the higher powers. Amen. There is a rebellious attitude permeating our generation around the globe. You might say that it started with the hippies, the hippie movements of the 60s. Maybe. At least you can see that. There was fighting against authority. No rules, no authority, no restraints. Let us just live free. Free love, free sex, free, do whatever you want to do. Freedom, freedom, freedom. And then it produced on from freedom to rights. I've got the right. I want my rights. I want what's coming to me and even what is not coming to me. Amen. We moved on to that. And now we're living in a day of this, it's liberation, a liberation theology and a libertines. And they talk about, well, I'm a libertarian and I'm not a Democrat or a Republican. I'm a libertarian. But the whole thing there is nobody tell me what to do when we've got to have people in authority. Or we'll descend into chaos. For sure. Amen. I remember hearing a preacher tell, he was a missionary to Haiti. And he said one Sunday morning, early in the morning, he said about daylight, a woman came and knocked on the door. And she had walked several miles to get to his house. A woman came to the door. Knocked on his door. He went to the door. And she said, are you the pastor of the church down the street? He said, yes, I am. She said, God gave me a vision last night and God told me to come down here and tell you that I'm supposed to preach this morning. And he said, oh no, you're not. She said, you're not going to let me preach? And he said, no, ma'am, I'm not. She said, even though the Holy Spirit woke me up and told me to tell you? He said, no, ma'am. The Holy Spirit told me in the Word of God not to let you preach. She said, so apparently you're a dictator. He said, no, ma'am, I didn't know we had a dictator or needed one, but if we need one, I'm it. Right. You know why? Because there's got to be some authority. You can't just come in and everybody do what they want to do and have just chaos in the house of God. Even in our testimonies, I appreciate the fact, just like Brother Houston started to testify the same time that Brother Back did, and Brother Houston waited. By the way, that's biblical. Wait one for the other. Amen. So it doesn't descend into chaos, but we can all be shouting or we can all be running, but yet somebody needs to be in authority of the whole thing. Amen. And so he's dealing with this thing of authority. Well, I'm talking about, it's not just in America now. The hippies were in America, but it's spread all around the world. This rebellion against authority. Well, it seems like that has not only disrupted order in all the institutes of our land, but what has happened is it has instituted man as his own God to do as he pleases. I'll worship who I want to worship, and I'll do what I want to do, and I'll be what I want to be, and nobody's going to tell me different. That's the attitude of people in our world. By the way, that happened in the days of Israel. It said twice in the book of Judges. Matter of fact, this was in my daily reading today. Judges chapter 17, verse 6. In those days there was no king in Israel, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes. That's Judges 17, verse 6. It's said again in Judges 21, verse 25, the last of the book. He says, in those days there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Almost identical. There's a difference in the word but and a difference in a comma or a colon. But the point is the same. There was no king in the land. No authority. No one person in authority. Therefore, everybody did that which was right in their own eyes. When you read from Judges 17 to Judges 21, bookmark, one end says, no king, everybody do what they want to do. The end of it said, no king, everybody do what they want to do. When you read what's going on in the middle of that, the land descended into chaos. Women were being raped. Men were being raped. Sodomites were sweeping the land. Does that sound familiar? Why? No authority in the land. Now, and I don't have the time to deal with this at length, but in America we have laws, but those laws don't rule anymore. They can arrest somebody for a heinous crime, and almost before the police officer gets to punch out and go home, that criminal has been released from custody and back out on the streets. Right? People in high authority, we can say, lock her up. They didn't lock her up, and they're not going to. We can say, lock him up. They didn't lock him up, and they're not going to. You know why? No authority in the land. You know what that breeds across the land? It breeds chaos, disruption, disturbance. Amen. And by the way, you might think, well, if there's no authority, well, that'd be great. We get to do what we want to do. But what happens, it develops into a society of liberties, but not liberty to do right, liberty to do wrong. To steal and kill and rape and pillage. Amen. It's not a government of self-rule or self-government. No governors, no restraints, no restrictions, no holding back. Amen. Instead of producing a tolerant and free and independent utopia, it goes into a dystopia, a world that is in disorder. Here's what Proverbs 12:15 says. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. You know what he said? God said, it ain't good for you to be able to do anything you want to do. Just because you can justify it, don't make it right. Amen. If you read the chapters between those two statements of Judges, as I said, you'll see that the land descended into chaos. Immoral, inhuman, and ungodly depravity across the nation of Israel. I'm talking about God's own people in the promised land. In reality, our submission to human government is actually a submission to divine government, because it's ordained of God. Let me read verse 1 again, and then we'll go to verse 2. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. I'm to submit because they're ordained of God. Amen. Amen. Verse number 2. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. There's probably never been a generation of people or a government of people that might have felt that they had more reason to justify resisting the ordinance of God or resisting the authorities than this group right here he's writing to right now. He's writing to Christians at Rome, that it was a very vile society, a very vile government, a very anti-Christian, anti-God group of people, and yet he said to that very group, you don't have an exception. You're to submit to the authorities. Now that doesn't mean you're to do wrong. Are you following? I'm not talking about if the government says for everybody to drink liquor, then you gotta go drink liquor. No, we obey God rather than man in that case. Right? But when the government says you're not supposed to do this, for example, those speed limit signs are there for a reason. Now, we've gone to a place, they almost mean nothing anymore. Right? I may have said this before. I remember in Wilkesboro, Daniel knows it, Melissa, there's a place we call Second Street Hill, and it's four lane going downhill, and it's 35 mile an hour speed limit. I know because I got stopped and asked by one of the great authorities of the land. He asked me, did I know what the speed limit was? I said, no. Well, he let me know what the speed limit was and that I was not obeying the speed limit. That was years ago. Melissa and I don't remember if we was married or just dating. But anyway, 35 mile an hour speed limit, nobody runs 35. Brother Kevin knows about it. But I remember some years ago, probably in the 90s, might have been in the 2000s, they put in the newspaper that there's going to be sitting police officers there at Second Baptist. There's going to be a police officer sitting there, and there was going to be monitoring the traffic. And anybody running over 45 was going to get stopped. Well, then the speed limit ain't 35. The sign says 35, but the paper said 45. Now, here's what I believe. Listen, I'm not saying I don't have a lead foot sometimes. Right? I'm not saying I don't. But I'm saying God said you obey the authorities that are over you. Now, the authority's supposed to set a rule and stay by that rule. Not be vacillating, not, amen, not be, letting some by and some not by. Right? It's supposed to be a rule that is a rule for all. Amen. But he is telling us we have a responsibility. Why? Because it's the ordinance of God. It's ordained of God, he said in verse number 1. He says it is the ordinance of God in verse number 2. Again, ordained, ordinance, that goes together there. It has been ordained of God. So God has placed these people in authority over us. Those authorities have many times been very brutal, very tyrannical. And yet the people of God down through the ages have known that it's our responsibility to submit as much as is possible, to live peaceably with all men. Amen. You read about the martyrs. Many of them could have justified resisting the authorities that were placed over them. But this verse and these verses say you're not supposed to resist. You're to submit to God. Now, how does it work? Here's how authority works, by the way. Authority, no one man is over everybody. Everybody's under somebody in the line of authority, right? Everybody is not only has some authority, but is under some authority. And so each one is to submit to the other. And when one of the lower authorities gets out of gear, what you're to do is to plead to the higher authority. And there is no authority higher than God, and Christians have the ability to do something that lost people don't have. We have the ability to appeal to our Father who sits on the throne. Amen. We've got access to the highest authority through our prayers. And we can appeal to God through our prayers. When Paul wrote to the Romans, Paul was talking about that you might live peaceably, that you might live profitably, that the gospel might have free course. He didn't say, I'm praying for Nero to die. He said, I'm praying for God to move in however he wants to move, that he can let his gospel go forth, and even a wicked king can't stop it. Amen. That ought to be our prayer in America. Now, we have an ability they didn't have. We get to vote, and you ought to vote. Shame on you if you don't vote. Amen. We ought to vote, but at the same time, we ought to pray. We ought to go to God in prayer. So, he says it's the ordinance. These authorities are set up there by the ordinance of God. They've been placed into that power, and they have authority over us. Now, down through the years, you see, sinners are unlawful, and sinners are rebellious. But Christians ought not be so. Amen. We ought to obey God rather than man. That's what Peter answered there in Acts chapter 5, and it's right. It's a proper statement. When the laws of men go directly against the laws of God. But when God's law is not contravened, when God's law is not directly related in that situation of man's law, and it's not dishonoring the ordinance of God, then we ought to obey those in authority over us. Amen. Amen. By the way, that's the example Jesus gave us. Turn to 1 Peter chapter number 2. I'll turn it, and I'm almost done. I'd try to be short. This is the kind of sermon that we need it to be short, because we can't stand too much of this. Really. Amen. 1 Peter chapter number 2. our Lord in his submission to authority. By the way, the same authorities, the authorities of Rome. Rome was in control of Judea when Jesus walked the earth. Pilate was set up by Rome. Herod was set up by Rome. So Rome was in authority over Israel. Pilate was a ruthless, self-serving politician. Sounds like what we have, don't it? He wasn't there for the good of Israel. He wasn't there for the good of the land or even the good of Rome. He was there for Pilate and what he could get out of it. Yeah. Self-serving politician. But Jesus submitted to his authority. God spoke to the Apostle Peter. Here's what he said. Chapter 2, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow in his steps. You say, now hang on, preacher. He ain't talking about when he submitted to Rome. Well, then let's read on, verse 22. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Who did he submit himself to? He submitted himself to Pilate. Who did he submit himself to? He submitted himself to the authorities of Israel. But he wasn't just submitting himself to Israel or submitting himself to Pilate. He was submitting himself to the Father. Amen. He could have said, I'm over Pilate. And he was in his divine relationship. But he didn't, that moment, he wasn't representing his divine relationship. He was representing his human relationship. Amen. He died as a human and showed us how to live as one. Amen. He suffered a wrongful conviction. He wasn't guilty of the things they accused him of. Wrongful conviction. He died a wrongful death. Amen. But he did so submitting to Pilate, submitting ultimately to God. He committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. That's what he said there in verse number 21. Amen. He submitted himself to God. He was willing to submit to God, allow God the Father to sort all this out as he sees fit. By the way, that's what we'll have to do. There's a lot of things you can't fix in your life down here. You'll have to take it to God and say, Lord, I'm going to trust you to sort it out at the judgment. Amen. Amen. John chapter number 19. You don't have to turn there. I'll just read you what Jesus said. Jesus answered to Pilate, by the way. Jesus answered to Pilate, thou couldest have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore, he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin. Was Pilate right in what he did? No. Pilate was wrong. But Jesus submitted to the wrong. Was Pilate just acting the part of a robot or a puppet? No. He had a human will. But that will was not submitted to the Father. That will was submitted to himself. Jesus said, my submission is to my Father. Amen. Thou couldst have no power at all against me except it were given thee from above. Amen. He said, God allowed you to be an authority power, Pilate. God allowed you to be an authority, Pilate. Amen. Now, we might develop a lot of questions. I'll try to maybe deal with some of them as we go in these verses coming up and look at verse number 3 through 7 later. A lot of questions about kind of submission that would be constituted in our society. But in reality, here's what he said in these two verses. You just read it like it's written. God is the ultimate authority, and he has placed men in authority over us. And our submission to God bleeds down to submission to them. Or our rebellion to them bleeds down from our rebellion to him and his will. Let me read you some more verses. I've got these written down, just several verses, and I'll quit. Proverbs 21, verse 1. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. I quoted that already a minute ago, alluded to it. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord as rivers of water. He turneth it whithersoever he will. In other words, God is ultimately in control of worldly leaders. Did you know that when God allowed Nebuchadnezzar to come in and razed the city of Jerusalem. I mean, destroyed it. Burned it to the ground. Destroyed it. Stamped it down. Took the people away. God said to the nation of Israel, here's what he said to you. He said, you pray for the peace of Babylon. He didn't say, you pray God kills them. No, he said, you be good to them. Because God was shaving with a borrowed razor. That's the phrase that he used there. In other words, what God was doing, God was going to let that wicked group of people overcome his people for a period of time, that God through it all was going to work it all to his glory and to his honor. Daniel lived through that. Matter of fact, Daniel chapter number 4, verse 17, he's talking to the king, Nebuchadnezzar. Here's what he said. This matter is by the decree of the watchers and the demand of the word of the holy ones, to the intent that the living may know, listen, that the Most High ruleth in the kingdoms of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will and setteth up over it the basest of men. So even when the basest, I'm talking about crooks and criminals rule. That hasn't just recently started in America, by the way. Right. I mean, it's not political, but you remember the Kennedys? You know who was in control of all that? Catholics and the mafia. The mafia, that's Catholics. Wickedness. Liquor. Mr. Kennedy, Joseph Kennedy, was a liquor salesman. And our country has been run that way for generations now. But here's what God said. They may be the basest of men, but I put them in authority. I allowed them to have rule for a period of time. What are we to do? We're to call on God, the Most High. We've got to remember, he's the authority over it all. Amen. Now, when he's talking about people that are in rebellion, here's some verses. Jude 1:8. Likewise, also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. Verse 16. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. 2 Peter 2:19. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same he is brought into bondage. Now here's the problem. Many of us can remember this, at least people my age. Some of y'all don't remember this, but many of you remember that before the Iraq war, when the Shah of Iran got kicked out in the 80s, Jimmy Carter made friends with a man in Iraq. We pulled up a man from the ranks and put him in power in Iraq. His name was Saddam Hussein. Jimmy Carter did that. And then the others followed along right with it, including Ronald Reagan. Followed right along with it. Saddam Hussein's ruling over Iraq. But then the day came when we realized Saddam Hussein's a wicked, base, vile creature. As bad as the Khomeinis and the Khomeinis and all that other junk out there. Amen? But we had built him up. And so throw him out. And what happens? We got even more wicked people come up. And the point is this, that sometimes when somebody rebels, then the rebeller may be just as bad as the ones in authority now. And so we say, well, if we can just get change, if we can just throw out the Constitution and we can just change things the way we want to do it, that usually doesn't help matters. Amen. How's God's order of authority? Is recognized he's over it all. Therefore, we can go up the chain of authority. Maybe you can't talk to your senator, or you can't talk to your congressman, or you can't talk to your president. You can talk to the King of Kings, amen, the Lord of Lords. We ought to submit to him. I'm going to stop right there. Our submission is to the Lord Jesus in particular, but God the Father overall. Now, I want you to think about what I've talked about today and think about it personally. What authority do we, you and I, have a problem submitting to? Do you have a problem submitting to your husband? Do you have a problem submitting to your parents? Do you have a problem submitting to your employer? Do you have a problem submitting to your pastor or your Sunday school teacher or your school teacher or the principal or the police officer, or the mayor, or the governor, or the president, or the king? Who do we have a problem submitting to? Here's what he said. We're out of gear with God. It's why we get out of gear with men. Amen. But, preacher, if I submit to them, you don't know how bad they may get. Well, I'll give you a little bit of that. I'll give you a little bit of that. But here's what you got to remember. If you're submitting to them, not just them, but in submission to God, then you're honoring God even in your submission to a wicked individual. And you're trusting not that wicked individual, but you're trusting God that's over that wicked individual. Right? But if you rebel against that wicked individual and rebel against God, you're not showing trust in God. And without faith, it is impossible to please Him. We got to trust our God in order to please our God. And the way we do that is to trust Him to be in control of the whole matter. Amen. Now here's, it hits us where we're living, because what we do in this world, we're so caught up in this world. If it ain't fixed in this election cycle, it's never going to be fixed. Can I tell you, there's a whole world beyond this world? Amen. There's a long time after this short space of time. So we can submit to God, and if need be, for a space of time, we can submit to men. Let's stand to our feet, heads bowed and eyes closed, as they come with a song. The Lord may have spoke to somebody's heart. I hope He did. And you do business with the Lord. Heavenly Father, thank You. Thank You, Lord, for the Word of God. Thank You for the good testimonies, the good, sweet spirit. Lord, the fellowship of the saints, the blessings we've enjoyed, and then the listening and attention of the Word of God. Help us, dear God, to submit to Thee. Recognize that is our ultimate. You are our ultimate authority. That is our ultimate position. Premier, we got to submit to You first of all. Principally, first of all. And then these other things will fall in place. Help us, dear Lord, in these matters. Father, I pray that You'd help those that have never submitted, never surrendered their soul to You. Maybe they don't feel like they're in rebellion, but they're not saved. Therefore, they're rebels against God. I pray, dear God, You'd break their rebellious spirit. I pray You'd grant them repentance that they might believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved by the good grace of God. Help them, dear Lord, to trust You above all. That's what our job is as well. We'll thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.